And I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3. And I ask you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read down through verse number 11. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its clarity and its instruction. Bless us now as we study this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, just think in your mind for just a moment that you're at home and you have one of your children or perhaps a grandchild, perhaps a neighbor kid is at your house, and they see sitting on the bench in the garage a cup, just a regular white styrofoam cup. And you know that in that cup is gasoline. And the child reaches for that cup of gasoline, not realizing it's gasoline, thinking that perhaps it's water or something else they can drink. And if they have it in their hands and they have it tipped to their lips, what would love dictate that you do? You'd warn them. You would stop them. It would be unloving, it would be unkind, and it would be hate-filled if you let them drink that gasoline, you knowing what it is and the danger involved. We can go on with illustrations like that, but they all come out the same, and the answer is all the same, that if someone is going to do something that will harm them and put them in danger and in jeopardy, it is our responsibility, because of love and just because of human decency and because of morality, to warn them of the danger they face. Now, the reason I say that is the subject I'm going to speak on this morning. Now, that would be a good illustration to go into a soul-winning message, but I'm not going to do that this morning, although we do need that. We need to recognize that souls are lost and headed for hell, and they don't even know it. They're going to hell with a smile on their face until they get there, and then it's gone. Because they're able to live their way, able to sin their sins without anyone rebuking them. And the Christian out of love needs to do that and tell them the danger, the grave, mortal, eternal danger of their soul. I'm going to speak on a different subject this morning. Very unpleasant and yet necessary in the political and cultural environment in which we live. State after state, I believe we're up to about a dozen now, has legalized what they call gay marriage. The Bible calls it sodomy. Now, we know that in our culture, this has become a political issue, and they try to keep it at the level of merely political or politics. But we know the Word of God has much to say on the subject, and so not only is it a political issue, it is also a spiritual issue. And so this morning I just want to ask three simple questions, or address three simple questions. First of all, is, and I'm going to refer to it as sodomy. I know there's many other names for it today, but the Bible's term for it is sodomy. And so that's what I'll be using. I won't be calling it homosexual or gay. for the most part. But the first question is simply the question, is sodomy sin? Are they born that way, or is it an acquired behavior? The second question I'm going to address is, if sodomy is sin, which of course we know right now it is, but I'll show you scripture on that. If it's sin, what is the punishment? What is the punishment? And then the third question I want to deal with, and this is perhaps the most controversial of all things I'll talk about this morning, and that is simply the question, is there hope for a sodomite? Now, if you listen to them, there is none. A sodomite was born that way and you can't change them. The state of California passed a law forbidding any counselor to help someone asking for help beneath the age of 18 to escape the sodomite lifestyle or the sodomite sin. So our culture today is saying that once a sodomite, always a sodomite. Is that what the scriptures tell us? So these are the three questions I'll be dealing with this morning. And the first question is just simply, is sodomy a sin? Now we begin right where we have already read here in 1 Timothy. God had, through the Apostle Paul, assigned Timothy to do certain things, and part of this is to appoint leadership in the churches, because some desired to be teachers of the law, but had no idea, had no clue what it was they were teaching. They had no understanding. And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is made for a righteous man. But here's our list that the law was made for: the lawless and disobedient, the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. Now, notice how severe this list becomes. Murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. Can you imagine the hatred? And we do hear about it from time to time where a child will kill their very own parent. That parent or those parents that brought them into this world with love and loved for them and cared for them throughout their life, and they turn on a parent and take their life. It also talks about manslayers. Again, the idea of taking the life of another. Verse number 10 begins with whoremongers, those given to that sin. But notice the second one in verse number 10. For them that defile themselves with mankind. Now what is that talking about? That is talking about nothing less than sodomy. If you break this word down, that's what it's talking about. And God, very gently and very graciously, trying to list sin here without being graphic so that we don't have mental pictures that are sickening in our minds. And so he just simply describes it as defiling themselves with mankind. Then it talks about kidnappers. But the interesting thing at the end of this verse, it says if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And so apparently there were those in Timothy's day and age that were saying that these things are okay, that God doesn't really call these sins, that perhaps these are just natural for us to do, natural inclination of the human spirit and human character. And God is rebuking that here and saying that teaching is wrong. It's contrary or against or opposed to sound doctrine. We know that there are denominations today that say sodomy is okay. And they'll have on their official website, gay friendly. Or they'll put out on their church sign that they are gay friendly. Or gay friendly too. We don't hate them. And we don't drive them off. We want to share the gospel with them. And we want an audience to share the truth with them. We don't hate anybody, although we're accused of that. But if we don't warn them of the sin in their life and the danger they're in, then we don't love them. If we're to pat them on the back and congratulate them, as happened with, I believe it was Jason Collier, the basketball player that came out and said that's what he was, a sodomite, and the president himself is calling personally to congratulate him, that isn't love, that's hatred. Because that lifestyle is proven to cut life short. That lifestyle is proven to be riddled with disease. That lifestyle is shown to be more susceptible to suicidal tendencies than any other lifestyle or sin choice in the world. These are facts that they don't tell. And so when one comes out, they congratulate them and say, way to go. I'm glad for your courage. It's not courage, it's sin. And if those people loved the sodomite, they would have a different response altogether. It's contrary to false doctrine. Look, if you would, back in the book of Leviticus. We're going to be looking at several different scriptures this morning. As I said, the Bible has a lot to say, but in Leviticus chapter 20, God makes it very clear. There in 1 Timothy, we saw that it's contrary to good doctrine, sound doctrine, that which is right. But in Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13, God puts it very bluntly here and very directly. If a man also lie with mankind, in other words, with another man, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. God puts it very bluntly and very clearly here that if there's any sodomites in the land, they're to pay with a death penalty. Now, even the very fact of a death penalty is much debated in our day and age, but God has made it very clear that in His program and in His way of doing things, that this is a sin worthy of death. That they should not live any longer to infect society. That's God's statement here in the book of Leviticus. And so if we're to answer the question, is sodomy sin? The Bible very clearly says yes. It is a sin. It is not a way of life. It is not the way they were born, but it's sin. It's a choice. But we have many variations of this. And just for interest's sake, look over in Deuteronomy 22. Because you have the... I won't get all the letters right. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, whatever it all is, it's all wrapped together in the same thing. But what about those that cross-dress? Now, when I graduated from high school, one of the things I remember is my art teacher, and I loved art in school, but the art teacher was a sodomite. And everybody knew it. He was open about it. But he came to my graduation dressed like a girl, complete with makeup and wearing a little bonnet and everything else, and brought his girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you want to call it, with him. As I said, he was very open about it. What does the Bible say about that? Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord God. So what about men dressing like women? What does God say? God says it's an abomination. God doesn't pat them on the back and congratulate them and say, way to go, way to express yourself. Nice courage. God says, no, that's sin, it's an abomination, and it will be punished. Sodomy is a sin. Just the plain reading of the scriptures make that very clear. Turn over, if you would, to the first chapter of Romans, because I want to deal with our second question. What is the punishment of sodomy? What is the punishment? And I split this into two categories. The second category is, what about the eternal punishment? I think that's very obvious, but we'll deal with that in a minute. But I want to talk about in this life. I've already made reference to disease, to shortened life. It's just like taking a kid and saying, go ahead and smoke 10 packs of cigarette a day, because every one of those cigarettes will cut X amount of time off your life. And so that way, instead of living to be What's the average? About 75. You'll only live to be about 55 if you keep smoking 10 packs of cigarettes from the time you are now until you die. It's saying the same thing. Go out and be a sodomite because you'll die. It'll cut all these years. It's just the way it is. Those are some of the prices. But I want to look at something else here, because this also deals with a question: are sodomites gay? Now, what does gay mean? Gay means happy. We all want to be happy. But is a sodomite happy? Well, God gives us a picture. God who created them, God who created man and understands what's in our heart, God who is omniscient, that can see past the facade, can see past the mask on the face, and tell us what's in the depths of a man's heart. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And then the next verse in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, tells us God can. God who knows the heart can read the heart, and he tells us. And so what is the punishment in this life? Well, look in verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. It tells us later that God gave them up to a reprobate mind. God just simply allowing them to have their own way, and that in itself is punishment enough. What is their own way? Well, let's begin in verse number 29. Now, we've got a lot of things to cover here. I lettered it. I should have numbered it. But it goes all the way to the letter V, God describing what is a sodomite like. And I believe this is the punishment for sodomy. Okay, let's begin in verse 29. First of all, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Okay, fornication is sex outside of marriage. They say that even though the sodomite can get married, they can have gay marriage, but it's a completely different description than what our marriage is. Our marriage is monogamous. One man, one woman for life. But it's never understood that way in our sodomite crowd. In our sodomite crowd, you can be married, but you can have as many partners outside of marriage while you're still married as you want. Now, from everything I read, that's what they're saying. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what they say. That's just the average sodomite relationship. Fornication. Now, we can think in our minds, if that would happen to us, how would that make us feel if our partner was, our spouse was unfaithful to us? That wouldn't make you feel very happy. But that's the lifestyle. God gave them up to this reprobate mind, and that's a part of it. That's not happy. That's not gay. All right, let's move along, because after fornication comes wickedness. Wickedness. This is a vicious disposition. A vicious disposition. That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? We don't like dealing with people that have this type of a disposition. We want to deal with people that are kind, that are happy, that are easygoing and easy to get along with. But not the person that's been given up to a reprobate mind. In my other church, we had a retired police officer. He wasn't very old. He was in his early 50s, maybe. He had put his time in on the force, and he retired because he got into a special unit, investigation unit, and he would have to investigate crimes. And he said, there is no crime scene as vicious and as violent as a sodomite crime. That's coming from a man who knows. Wickedness, a vicious disposition. They want to present themselves as being normal and as being nice and as being worthy of receiving adopted or foster children. But they're not like you and I. They put on a facade, they put on a face, and they put on a show, and they try to make themselves look happy or gay. But God, who sees the heart, says it just isn't so. Well, let's move along. We have a lot to cover here. Verse 29 still, the third, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, a greedy desire to have more. Never satisfied. The covetous person is never satisfied. And I don't want to be graphic, but just think about that. Never satisfied. It helps us understand why they have relationships like they have. Why they have so many, we'll just use the phrase partner, in their lifetime. Because they're never satisfied. If you get into a relationship like that, you know that you may satisfy them today, but tomorrow they will not be satisfied with you and they'll go find somebody else. That doesn't sound very happy. That doesn't sound very gay. Covetous, greedy desire to have more. Also in verse 29 is the word maliciousness. Maliciousness, ill will, or the desire to injure somebody else. Now, that's just not normal. That's just not normal. The desire to hurt somebody. But God says that's what those who are given up to a reprobate mind are like. It talks about full of envy. The idea here behind the words full of is being brought under its control. And envy is the twofold. First of all, again, this is coming out of Merriam-Webster, painful or resentful awareness of advantage enjoyed by others. In other words, it's sitting back and seeing that somebody else has something you don't have, and that cuts to the heart. That hurts to see they have what I want. But then included in that acknowledgement that they have what you want is the desire to possess the same thing. It's often said that the sodomite does not really want marriage. They just want the ability to marry if they choose, but they really don't want it. That's envy. God talked about it here in the book of Romans. It goes on from there to murder. Murder, to take the life of another. In the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus expanded on the idea, the concept of thou shalt not kill as he explained the Ten Commandments and what God involved in those, or what God meant by those. It was more than just taking the life of another physically, but it was defaming somebody's character, destroying another's reputation. God says that's what those of a reprobate mind are like. He says next, debate. Debate. We understand debate. It's simply contentious and hard to get along with. Arguing. Never being able to agree. It's kind of like the little kids arguing over who gets to play with what toy. Causing strife. He goes on to say deceit. Now, this is all a description of those of a reprobate mind that God says he's given over the sodomite to, and it helps us understand the punishment they experience in this life. They are not gay. They are not happy, though they may appear it and put on a performance in front of other people. Deep down inside their heart, God opens it up and says, this is what's there. Deceit comes next. Deceit, trickery, intentionally deceiving another. The next is malignity. Malignity, evil in nature and influence, having a bad character. God says this is those that have been given up to the reprobate mind. No one I would want to entrust my children with. If you didn't see the news, the Boy Scouts finally caved in, from what I understand, and they're going openly sodomite. Now it's causing them even more problems because they kept the right decision. At first, they lost all the liberal meeting places, but now they're losing all the somewhat conservative meeting places. So now they have nowhere to meet. As far as I'm concerned, they're just about done. It'll be a very small organization before they're all done here. Malignity. They have no business being around our children. They have no business being around our adults for that matter. But we want to win them to Christ. It goes on to talk about the last one in verse 29 being whisperers. A whisperer is someone who shares secret slander spoken quietly one to another. And as we move into verse number 30, the first one there is backbiters. Very similar to whisperers, but this is just simply that which is spoken loudly and openly and publicly, defaming, injuring the reputation of another. That's not normal. But those given up to a reprobate mind are characterized with this. They're haters of God. Haters of God. And yet they want to come to church. They want to be in church. But they don't worship the same God we worship. God says they're haters of me. I believe they hate his person because of everything he represents and everything that he has taught. And the word is very clear about their lifestyle and what he thinks of it. And so they hate him for it. But I believe they also hate his people. At least those who believe in the book, those who believe in God's word, those who are still faithful to God and haven't compromised and given in to the public pressure. They also hate God's plan. God's plan is one man and one woman. They hate that. I personally believe that the real reason they're trying to legalize sodomy marriage is it just completely undermines the whole institution of marriage. What's the good to be married if you can marry, you know, someone of the same gender? And then from there, it'll be you can marry two or three or four of the same gender or opposite gender or mix and match. And then you can marry your dog or your horse or your cat. That's just where we're going. They hate God's plan and they hate God's promises, God's word. They hate it with a passion. Well, let's move along here. They're haters of God. They're also despiteful. One who delights in boldly insulting and doing evil to others. Now, I confessed in Sunday school how I insulted Pastor Oxendine's family. But that was in jest, and he knew it was in jest. But this is different than that. This is doing it meaningfully and not in jest. That's just not normal. That shows a heart filled with hatred and anger and wrath to have to strike out and lash out in this fashion. This isn't a pretty picture, but this is the judgment right now on those who choose to be a sodomite. God says he's not going to wait till eternity. He's going to give them up to a reprobate mind. He's going to let them have their way, and this is what happens. It's not gay. It's not happy. Moving along are those that are proud, treating others with contempt because they think too highly of themselves. They're boasters, bragging of one's accomplishments, even though the implication is that much of it is false in this word boasting. That's one of the ways that the sodomite lobby exerts influence in the retail world. They say, well, if you become gay friendly, we'll bring you all our business and you'll prosper. Just ask JCPenney how that works. If you remember just over a year ago, they hired Ellen DeGeneres to be their spokesman. And they began showing advertisements showing sodomite couples. They did it for Mother's Day and for Father's Day. What happened to JCPenney? Their stocks dropped, not in the bucket, they dropped underneath the bucket. It went down so badly. And they finally gave up and had a change of heart. They were boasting, the sodomite crowd was boasting, we'll make you wealthy. But the boast was just hot air. They couldn't carry through with it. That's exactly what God is talking about. God knew that 2,000 years ago when he had Paul write this letter to the Roman church, telling what those given up to a reprobate mind would be like. Goes on to say they're inventors of evil things, scheming of wickedness. And there is an organized effort in the sodomite community to make it normalized, starting with, and we've talked about this before, and we kind of got on it a little bit Wednesday before we got to the Bible study, but we talked a little bit about it Wednesday, how there's this organized agenda, scheming, starting with kindergarten children. They want to turn the world their way. That's what God's talking about. He knew it 2,000 years ago. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Now, the parents are the authority figure in a child's life. And so what God is telling us by this is simply they would reject authority, flaunt it. Moving on to verse 31, without understanding, foolish and unintelligent, they're covenant breakers. They don't keep their word. They're without natural affection toward children, towards parents, towards spouses, if you can call it that, without natural affection. They're implacable, refusing to even talk about a settlement to bring an absence of strife, non-compromising, unmerciful, showing no mercy. God says, as he opens up the heart of the sodomite and lets us know what it looks like, because we can't see it, we can't judge it, we can't determine it, because they put up a facade, they put up a face, they put up a mask, so to speak. But God digs down deep into it and says, this is what they're like. Those that get sucked into the lifestyle, if they knew this going in, might have second thoughts. But they're fooled because they don't go to the Word of God. Yes, they've been punished in this life. But turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Because we know that God will also judge them if they stay in their sin. God will judge them in eternity as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And there's our phrase again. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Notice this. Here's the judgment. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. God says if a sodomite stays in that lifestyle, they'll wind up spending eternity in hell. Well, let's look at the third question. We've got about 5 minutes. Let's look at that third question. Is there hope for the sodomite? Well, this passage before us says yes. Because let's continue to read as God is writing to the Corinthian church and says, some of you guys were fornicators, some of you were idolaters, some of you were adulterers, some of you were effeminate, some of you were abusers of themselves with mankind or sodomites, some of you were thieves, some of you were covetous, some of you were drunkards, some of you were revilers, some of you were extortioners. The key is were. Look in verse 11, and such were. That's past tense. That means they're not that anymore. He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now there's the answer. Being washed in the blood of Christ, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so God is telling us that a sodomite can change, that a sodomite can be won to Christ, and it's our duty and our responsibility that we see those that are in danger of eternal hell, eternal fire, those that are in danger of ruining their lives and making shipwreck today. We need to warn them that Jesus Christ will forgive them and Jesus Christ will save them and they can live a normal life. Look over in Matthew chapter number 11, because 1 Corinthians isn't the only passage that tells us that a sodomite can change. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 23. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now, the way they were exalted to heaven is because Jesus was there and doing miracles in the city. Shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works, in reference to what he had done and what he had taught there, if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, notice this, it would have remained until this day. Now, how could it have remained? There's only one way it could have remained. Now, remember back in the Old Testament, prophet Jonah? We have the book of Jonah as he recorded what happened in his life. And Jonah was sent to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a very wicked city. And God told Nineveh, told Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach in 40 days, God is going to destroy the city. And Jonah, by way of the whale, finally wound up in Nineveh, and walk through the city saying, in 40 days, God's going to destroy this city. What did Nineveh do? They repented. All the way from the king, all the way down, even to the animals, fasted, wore sackcloth. They repented. Now, what was Jonah angry about in the last chapter of that little book? That God withheld his judgment because they had changed. And so God is also telling us that the Sodomite can change as well. He's saying that if Sodom had seen the works, the display of God, they would have repented. So our responsibility is to warn those caught in this lifestyle of their danger and to offer them hope in Christ. If we're not careful, we're going to wake up one day and Sodomite marriage will be the law of the land. We need to stand against it, not because we hate, but on the contrary, because we love and we care. Father, we thank you for your word and for making it clear to us how you feel about this sin. Father, we know there are many out there in the world that are a whole lot smarter than I am, with degrees at the end of their name that would disagree with everything I said today. But Father, you know I don't stand here in my authority. And what I said is not based on my opinion. But Father, what was presented was simply your word. Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, and the one before whom all will one day give an account. Father, may we, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, be able to say, I did my best to stem the tide. I did my best to win as many as I could. Now, Father, help us to make this determination in our hearts and in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.